Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our Bet365 triple option feature at 6:30 tonight. LSU plays Grambling in baseball, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. At 4:20, Jake Madison will come on with us, talk about the Pels. Charlie and I will talk about it briefly before we get Jake on. And then at 5:20, the legendary man himself, Archie Manning, will come on with us to talk about Manning Passing Academy and his relationship with the Saints' new quarterback in Spencer Rattler. And he can confirm my story about him winning that 1 year of free chicken from Raising Cane's, which is a great story of what Spencer. It's funny how you remember things like that happened that aired out. Charlie, last night, no surprise, Oklahoma City 97, Pelicans 89. The four-game sweep happened. This team failed to score more than 92 points in any of the four games they played in the sweep by Oklahoma City. And man, that bench almost midway into the fourth quarter is almost like, we got it, Jack. There's nothing you can do to beat us. Nothing you can do. After the Pelicans made a bit of a run late in the third quarter and early into the fourth, you could see Big Mo change real quickly and Oklahoma City took over.
To their credit, this was more like game one than it was like either games two or three, of course, because they had the lead entering the fourth quarter. And that was a big moment when, you know, I think it was Brandon Ingram who hit two free throws right before the end of the third quarter. And that gave them that 71-70 lead. They still hadn't ever won a game when trailing entering the fourth quarter. And when they were down one, I'm like, okay, well, it's going to have to be one of two things here. And then they enter the fourth quarter and they just get kind of shellacked.
Like little stinkle.
Josh Giddey, of all people, hitting big three after big three. The kid can't shoot and he's hitting like all these dagger threes in the fourth quarter. Jalen Williams hits a couple big threes as well. Like, we've talked about the Thunder. They have young talent. And at the same time, the Pelicans' offense just didn't show up in the series, Mike.
They did.
Like, they just didn't show up. They averaged about 18 turnovers per game. They finished shooting below 30% from three-point range for the series. It just was not a good showing. And, you know, to your point about not breaking the 92-point barrier in any game of the series, Mike, with those 82-plus, you know, I guess you could include the play-in tournament and also the in-season tournament, the whole season for the Pelicans before the postseason, before the playoffs began, like the first round series against the Thunder, they'd only broken that 92-point mark. They'd only been below that four times. They did it all four times
duplicated
in the playoffs.
Duplicated.
So let me kind of rephrase that. They had done it four times in about 85 games, and they did it all four games against OKC. And it's funny because one of the four times that they did it during the regular season was against the Thunder. The Thunder, and that was without Zion, of course. It was the game back in January, the first of those three, you know, matchups against OKC, Milwaukee, and Boston, and that gauntlet stretch, you know, a few months back. So five of the eight times that they were held to 92 points or fewer – It was against the Thunder. They just didn't match up well against them, Mike.
They didn't.
Without Zion, the offense just didn't have enough.
No, you didn't see any continuity. Ball movement really wasn't there. You had opportunities. And I give the Thunder a lot of credit. They're a young team. They're a younger team than what the Pels are. And they walked down that court. They walked down that aisle and had no fear at all of the Pelicans at home. And this is a basketball team with the Pelicans, wins 49 games, has the best regular season record on the road. And, Charlie, Deuce and I talked about this last night. That first game, like, literally ripped the heart out of them to lose that opener against OKC when you had a couple opportunities to win that game. And they never recovered. You could put the paddles on them, but they never recovered from that that opening game loss. And we heard David Griffin talk this morning about that we're not going to stand pat. Well, I hope not, because you're going to have to make some changes with this basketball team, and you're going to have to make some tough decisions. Bottom line, you can't play the same hand you had when you came into the season. You're going to have to move off of that.
I think it's a good point, because you can talk about 49 wins is a very strong regular season. It's the second most wins in like the past decade and a half. I think it's the most wins since they won 56 back in the 07-08 season. So very successful regular season. You didn't make the playoffs with 49 wins. That was kind of the issue. You fell into the play-in tournament, and that first game of the play-in tournament was where Zion got hurt, and everything just snowballed out of control from there. Yes, you beat the Kings to make the playoffs, but without Zion Williamson, Mike, you're without your guy. You're without your star player against the best team in the Western Conference. And, you know, it's also kind of an interesting point about OKC. It's like, they were the top seed, but are they even the best team in the West? Like, would you take them over?
I don't think they're the best team, but you see the raw talent that this team has.
And Coach Dagnall won
I thought he did a fantastic job.
Well-deserved Coach of the Year award winner. So, I mean, he's doing great with a very young team, inexperienced, but they come out and basically control the Pelicans for four games. Like, the first game came down to a final shot for CJ. Like, a 1-0 series lead for the Pelicans. I think this series would have gone very differently. But at the same time, as I said earlier, Mike, they didn't have enough offensively. Like, the offense
man,
wasn't
deep
there.
Throws, oh my God, and the threes last night, that was horrible.
The threes the whole series.
I mean,
they entered it 27-97. I think they were like 8 of 34 last night. So the threes did not fall at all. And the issue is, like, yes, you can give the Thunder credit, but Willie Green said it multiple times, and it stayed true throughout the series. The shots just weren't falling. They had good looks in that series against OKC. Now, Lou Dort was all over Brandon Ingram. We know that
BI
was not 100%. They let him be really, really physical with Ingram, and Ingram never adjusted. It was a tough matchup for him, a really tough series for him.
Okay, on your point, were you surprised they were as physical with the Pelicans as they were? I didn't see that physicality going in. That
I think
they were trying to be that physical.
They wanted to have something to prove, I would say, Mike. So I wasn't too surprised. Like, yes, they're the young kids on the block. They're the new kids on the block. But they wanted to try and punch a team in the mouth. And the Pelicans, once again, after they lost that game one, they were the ones that got out-physical in games two and three. They fought back in game four. But last night, going back to the game four, Mike, I mean, you have an 80-75 lead with 8 minutes left to go in the game, and you give up an 18-2 run, and that's just putting the nail in the coffin. And OKC goes on to win and sweep the series.
Okay, I'm driving back home from the Silver Slipper show, and, man, you know, I'm listening to the game, and they make that run at the end of the third quarter, and first thing Graf talks about is that 0-25 record. And, you know, hey, listen, we got to get that lead. And, okay, it was okay. You got the lead going into the fourth quarter, and you sustained it for a little while. But, man, once those shots started to hit for OKC, it was all over. And you could tell by the reaction of the players on the bench for the Thunder. Man, we got this. They're going to fold real quick. And that's exactly what happened.
And I think that it was actually pretty classy. I read that Coach Dagnall came into the locker room for the Pelicans last night and said that they fought hard. They gave them a lot of issues and stuff like that. But they knew that it was going to be a different series without Zion.
Yeah.
And as soon as that hamstring strain happened to the Lakers, you kind of figured that it was going to be a quick exit. I don't know if I was necessarily expecting a sweep, and it almost wasn't a sweep, but at the same time...
It was a sweep.
It was a sweep, and you tip your hat to the OKC. They're moving on to the next round where they'll face either Dallas or the Clippers. I think it will be a fun series either way. But the Pelicans, as you mentioned, Mike, have a lot of big questions to answer this offseason.
A lot of them. And, you know, I heard David Griffin talk about we don't necessarily need or looking at a true point guard. Come on. I mean, sometimes, I hate to say it, coaches and executives, they sort of lie to you. I mean, he's not going to come out and exactly say that. But come on, that is a major flaw on this basketball
team. There's multiple.
It's not just
point guard.
And also a big man.
A rim protector. A rim-running, rim-protecting big man. Someone that fits what Willie Green wants to do more than what Jonas Valanciunas did. And if this is the last time we saw Jonas Valanciunas in a Pelicans uniform.
Man, God bless him.
Yes, absolutely. He was nothing but a consummate professional. All the love to Jonas Valanciunas, but they need a change at the center position.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Jake Madison, who'll break down the NBA and also his thoughts on the future and future moves with the Pelicans right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, covers the NBA and the Pelicans, Jake Madison. Jake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Well, now you're just covering the Pelicans, off-season, so to speak now. But Charlie and I were talking about this before we get into the series itself, that I think this, you know, last year at this time, maybe we didn't feel as though there was going to be a lot of moves. Today, after listening to Griffin and how it ended, you got a feeling that, you know, you're not playing with the same cards. You're going to have to redeal in this, and you need a point guard. I know Griff said differently, but, you know, sometimes you got to say what you say. And like I said, sometimes coaches and executives, they don't tell you quite the truth. And also a big man. I think those are the two glaring weaknesses that you see on this Pelicans team as they ended it last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are the two areas they're going to look to upgrade first, and then maybe make more changes as next season goes on with all of that, too, if those two moves don't work out. But that was the very clear takeaway from David Griffin's end-of-season press conference, was they can't just do what they've been doing. When you look at the Western Conference, it's stacked. It's stacked. The Sacramento Kings, who are a good team, didn't make the playoffs. Same for the Golden State Warriors. And all of these teams are going to try and get better. So if you just stay where you are, look, 49 wins might not even get you into the play-in tournament next season, given how things are going. And they realize that, and I think that's an important thing. They realize how competitive the conference they are in is going to be, and at least they're going to take appropriate steps because of that, right? I think they looked at this season and said 49 wins would have gotten us as the third seed last year. Well, that's not going to be good enough. We have to do something else. So there will be changes coming. And we've known for a while that they were going to have a new starting center next season. They looked to upgrade from Jonas Valanciunas last offseason. They tried to make a move at the trade deadline this year, calling a number of teams. The moves didn't end up coming to fruition. But at this point, you've just got to do something. And you have Jonas Valanciunas, you know, as admirable as he's been for this team, as consistent as he's been, just doesn't fit what they're trying to do. He's not going to be brought back. He's a free agent next year. So they're going to definitely look to upgrade that area. And on the point guard front, you heard Brandon Ingram say that that would help. You know, I don't think they need a pure point guard. I agree with David Griffin on that. I think you just need another kind of combo guard that has some creation. One of the things in this series you saw the Pelicans struggle with was drawing double teams and forcing the Thunder's defense to rotate. Brandon Ingram wasn't capable of drawing two defenders to him, and that just means everyone's playing one-on-one, and that makes your team easier to defend. You need a guard that has kind of that threat to him, whether that's attacking the basket, whether it's kind of the passing creation, whatever it might be, or kind of a mix of both of those, whatever gets you more ball creation, more offense creation, I think is what you're looking for, and that's definitely an area that they're going to try and address.
Jay, to your point about Jonas not fitting, I agree. I think that they're looking for a rim-protecting, rim-running big this offseason. But so, I mean, it is early, and I know that, you know, the offseason quite literally just started today, but are there any kind of centers that you're keeping your eye on for the Pelicans to potentially pursue this offseason?
Yeah, look, there's going to be a couple. It's going to be a lot of the names that we've heard before. You know, I think a guy like Miles Turner with Indiana is someone that would be the ideal player, but I think he's close to untradeable for where that team is, and they're going to advance to the second round, it looks like. You know, depending on what happens with the Cleveland Cavaliers in their first round series with the Orlando Magic, they're going to call about Jared Allen again. That was someone they were very interested in. They did make calls about him at the trade deadline. You know, if the Cavaliers don't get out of the first round, they might need to really change some things. And maybe there's a package there of Jared Allen and Darius Garland, who underachieved for them this year. And could maybe that be a bigger move built around Brandon Ingram? Those are, I think, the type of conversations that they're going to have. Jared Allen would give you rebounding, would give you shot blocking. He's also a very good dunker spot big. One of the things you saw in game four was they kept trying to dump the ball off to Jonas Valanciunas and Larry Nance Jr. down below. And just those aren't the type of big men that do that sort of thing. But Jared Allen does. And in fact, you can just kind of throw the ball up and he can jump up and get it and throw it down. And that's not really the type of big man that the Pelicans have on the roster. But I also think they'd like some three-point shooting from that and putting a stretch big out there with Zion Williamson. So maybe there's guys on the market. Maybe it's Isaiah Stewart from the Detroit Pistons or others. But they're definitely going to be very active looking to upgrade that position. No matter what, there needs to be some mobility there. I don't think the Pelicans want to change their defensive scheme fully yet because they were very good on that side of the ball. You need a guy that can also defend on the perimeter, which as well as Jonas played in that series against the Thunder, I thought he did okay. Defensively, they were really targeting him, and that's what kept him off the floor.
Jake, putting the odds on this when we look on this team in October, is Brandon Ingram going to be here, CJ McCollum?
I think yes to both of them. I think yes to both of them. And here's the reason for that. And there's a couple of them. You know, when you look at how you kind of triage this situation, and they had a good year. I think we're a little bit prisoner of the moment, disappointed in a sweep, but they played without Zion Williamson. If they lost in six games with Zion, do we view this a little bit differently? And I think we might. So I think they're going to kind of keep that in mind and not necessarily knee-jerk a reaction here. You know, they're going to address the center position first and see if that unlocks the starting lineup. You know, having all three of those main guys, Zion, CJ, and B.I. out on the court, they lost those minutes. That can't happen. And I think before you move one of those three guys, you're going to try and upgrade the center position and see if it unlocks them. Then if that doesn't happen, maybe you look at the coaching staff and make a change there. And only then, I think, will you really try and then move on from one of Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, and make more major changes there. It's just easier to do the other things first than it is to really overhaul your roster like that. That's why the Milwaukee Bucks fired their head coach and brought in Doc Rivers. It was just the easiest move that they could make to try and get some change there, even if it's not necessarily the right move. When it comes to Brandon Ingram, his contract situation makes this a little bit more complicated. He's got 1 year left on his deal now. That's next year. Trading guys when they only have 1 year left on their deal, you know, your trade value for that player goes down significantly. So they're not going to get the best offers because Brandon Ingram's going to go to every other team and be like, I'm not re-signing, I'm going to test free agency. So you can't trade him for pennies on the dollar. You've got to, as a small market, manage your assets a little bit. And I think the Pelicans know that. So I would not be shocked if they end up giving Brandon Ingram an extension. If he signs that, then you have 4 more, 5 more years of team control on that. and you can trade him in 6 months. And so you could move him at the trade deadline then. So I think he'll be on the team in October. Will he be on the team in March of next year? I'm not entirely sure. But then that value goes up because teams are trading for him knowing that they've got him for years in the future.
Yeah, Jay, Christian Clark of NOLA.com made a point that he's due a potential four-year extension this summer for about $208 million is what he's potentially looking at. So I guess my question then for you is, I mean, yes, Brandon had he came back from injury and like the series against the Thunder was nothing to write home about. As you said, you know, you don't want to be prisoner of the moment. He still had a solid season overall before he got injured in that game against the Magic back in March. Like, is this a guy that you're paying a contract like that, even if you plan on potentially moving him? Like, what do you kind of think of the potential contract negotiations with Brandon Ingram in the front office this offseason?
Yeah, I think that's something that they're going to look at, right? You know, at a certain point, you just got to keep talent on the roster, and you can always kind of figure it out later. And I'm sure that's not what many Pelicans fans want to hear, but it's the reality of the situation, I think, a little bit is, you know, it's a small market. This isn't, you know, a team that has historically attracted, like, big-name players. One of the things that I think is important to keep in mind with when it comes to Brandon Ingram is he likes it here. He wants to be here, and that's not something we've always said about very many players in the NBA. So there's something to be said for that, too. And you can always move him later. And I think that's one of the big things that will kind of get kept in mind here is sign him to an extension and then upgrade the center position. And if that doesn't work, then you can always move Brandon Ingram later. So I think there's kind of like an order of operations to all of this. And I think that's kind of the way that the Pelicans are going to go about doing it. You know, we look at this series where he struggled. He was bad. There's no sugarcoating it, right? Like, he was atrocious, I thought, in this playoff series, just unable to get anything done. Regardless of coming back from injury, you can't play like that when your team needs you. He and CJ McCollum are really the reasons they lost the series and got swept. But there was also that six-game homestand where the Pelicans went 1-5 and they didn't have Brandon Ingram. And so they could have used him there, and that might have kind of changed the outcome of that, and it would have gotten the Pelicans a different seed going into the playoffs. So as bad as he looked in this playoff series, there was a period of time where we were looking at this team and being like, oh, wow, they really need him out there on the court, and he was just out injured. So there's good and bad when it comes to this sort of thing, and you don't want to just kind of have recency bias where you look at just these past four games. You can even say six games with the two play-in tournament games too. But there's also been, you know, a whole body of work over the whole season, and that's worth keeping in mind as well.
Jake, when this series started, there was a lot of thought process by people in the league that, man, you know, the Pelicans match up pretty well here against OKC. But, you know, and you're talking about a real young basketball team that had, this is foreign territory for them to be where they're at. How they would react to playoff pressure. And yet I saw it swung. A team with more experience, they looked as though once game one got like their heart ripped out, then all of a sudden they sort of folded up. And I was really impressed with the Thunder for a young team that had not walked down that aisle before, how they handled this, okay, away from their own court the last two games. Because if they're going to lose, I think that's where they were going to do it at. Because they had not been there, kind of done that before. I was really – now, I don't know what happens in the second part of the series, you know, with Dallas and the Clippers. But I was impressed with the Thunder of how they handled playoff pressure for a very young – they talented, but a real young team that had not been through a lot of this.
Yeah, I think when you look at them – they were prepared and the Pelicans weren't. And that to me was a big difference in this, you know, and on the inexperienced side, Shea has been to the playoffs, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, twice before this. He had more playoff games in his career than Brandon Ingram did. Now, that was 3-4 years ago, so it's been a little bit different. And he had kind of been in the playoffs in the same kind of role as the number one guy. But he'd been there, so I think there's a little more experience than people were expecting from that. But that team is well-coached and well-prepared, and you can't say the same, at least on the prepared side, for the Pelicans going into this series. They looked a little shell-shocked at times and were kind of surprised by things like that, and even the players said that after the game. That shows you the value of a head coach in the league.
Yep.
Mark Daigneault, who just won Coach of the Year, really had them ready with the adjustments and knowing what the Pelicans were doing. And when you're that well-prepared, you're going to have a lot of confidence in that. You're going to go into a hostile environment and not be rattled by it. You know, I hate to use this phrase, but it's trusting the process, right? And their process was really good going into the postseason and in this series. And they're young. They have a lot to prove. You saw the difference between and you even heard Jonas Valanciunas say it after game two. Right. He came out and said we weren't prepared for their physicality. Yep. We weren't expecting their physicality, which is a little wild to me, given how physical they were in game one. For you to say that about game two, you just kind of went through it. It shows you the difference right there. And Degnan had that team ready to go. And that was a very impressive thing.
So, Jake, we have all these questions to talk about in the offseason, and we'll get to them, and we'll bring you back.
Yeah, we don't have enough time with you today, Jake.
Yeah, because there's just way too many question marks.
But be on here for a couple of days straight with y'all then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But before we let you run, I want to get your thoughts on the rest of the Western Conference. Obviously, we already know that one matchup is set for the semifinals, and it's going to be just a slugfest between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, a lot of people talked about how deep the West is. It's all going to come down to matchups. Man, Minnesota discarded Phoenix without any kind of problems. Like, that was maybe even a worse sweep than what the Pelicans had suffered at the hands of the Thunder in that 8-1 matchup. And then on the opposite side, you also had the Nuggets, who once again took care of the Lakers 4-1. That was a little bit more competitive, but the Nuggets, it seemed to follow like the same script every time, where the Nuggets would get down at half and then just make a huge surge in the third quarter and end up winning a really tight game. So you're looking at that matchup, the defending champion Nuggets versus this upstart Minnesota Timberwolves team led by one of the most electric players in the NBA right now, Anthony Edwards. I think it's a really, really fun matchup. It's almost, in my opinion, kind of like the Western Conference Finals before the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I was just elsewhere talking about this with a couple of people, actually. Like, it feels like whoever's going to win the Denver-Minnesota series is going to go to the finals and probably face off, we would assume, against the Boston Celtics. That matchup is really fun. You just mentioned some of the big players, right, in this one. You have Nikola Jokic going up against Rudy Gobert, who might win Defensive Player of the Year. You have Anthony Edwards, who has become a superstar in the NBA this year, going up against Jamal Murray, who just hit two game winners, including the series winner, to knock the Lakers and LeBron James out of the playoffs, right? And then you have the ancillary guys. There's Karl-Anthony Towns, who should be a trade target for the New Orleans Pelicans this offseason, going up against Aaron Gordon, who's been really good for the Denver Nuggets, too. So you have interesting matchups, star power, two really strong teams. I'm really looking forward to that series, and I hope it goes to seven games.
Jake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Also, throughout the season, did a great job breaking everything down. But more importantly, you give an opinion. And, man, I like that. Right or wrong, you give a really good opinion. And I think that's what Sports Talk's all about, and we appreciate you.
We'll keep in touch, Jake.
Yeah, because, you know, it ain't the end of the world.
Yeah.
We've still got some more going.
There's a lot to talk about this offseason. So we're going to stay busy over Locked On Pelicans. So I appreciate y'all having me on.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. Jake Madison does a great job covering not only the Pelicans, but the entire NBA. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. We had somebody ask us about Kirk Merrick and where he's at. He's in the UFL. He's playing with the Houston Roughnecks. He's playing a little bit of running back and wide receiver. And I saw Kirk do that when he was at Destrehan High School, the exact same way. So Kirk's getting an opportunity to play. He got injured, so I think he might be on injured reserve. I saw the game he got hurt in, but Kirk Merritt is playing in the UFL with Houston at the present time. And he was playing both running back and wide receiver. Charlie, to answer one of the texters about, did I feel as though the documentary that Spencer Rattler did when he was a high school kid affect him, his draft status? I don't think there's any doubt of that, because you got people in the back of their mind, they go back to that and say, well, you know, he didn't maybe act the most mature guy at that particular point in time. But we're talking about somebody who's 17 years old. He's the highest rated player in the country. Everybody's after him. Now, I've said this many times, how you handle success. They got people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that can't handle success. Think about if you were 17 years old and everybody's after you, and maybe you don't have a really strong support system around you, how you handle it. He didn't handle it well as a high school guy. And then he goes to Oklahoma. He redshirts his first year there. Then he becomes a starter, really looks good. And then he found out he was the man, but then they brought in another guy who was the man in Caleb Williams. And he goes to South Carolina. I thought he played much better in 2022 than he did in 2023, only because he had a better offensive line. Man, he got beat up last year. That offensive line, they were playing a lot of young guys up front. But, man, he's got a slingshot delivery. And I asked him about it because Deuce and I were talking about it off the air. Almost like, you know, like you would see a shortstop or a pitcher throw a ball. He does that. And when I asked him, he's like, oh, yeah. He said, I played a ton of baseball. And he said, I was a pitcher and a shortstop up until high school. And that's when he concentrated solely on being a quarterback. So to answer the question, I do think that documentary stuck in people's minds about him. And he's a talented passer. Now, he's not the most mobile guy around. He'll move around the pocket to buy time to throw it. He's really not what you want to say a runner. But, man, he puts a ball in a tight window. The one thing I wish he would break, and I see it in a lot of quarterbacks, he thinks he can put a football anywhere out on the field, in between arms and hands, and sometimes it gets picked off. But he is a really talented passer. I'm anxious to see him in a game action type situation, because the coaches at OU and South Carolina both said the same thing. He's one way in practice. You put him in a game, you see the competitive edge in him, mm-hmm. of how, man, he gets up to play that game. Now, practice is one thing and the game's another. But I'm intrigued with Spencer. He was my seventh-ranked quarterback. I thought he would go probably late second, early third round.
He was the seventh quarterback off the board, Mike, so you were right. It was just a matter of how far he
actually
went.
Look how long
went.
He had to last.
I think that,
and then Pratt, even longer.
Yeah, which was ridiculous. And I still think, as you mentioned earlier, Mike, that we're going to see something come out about Michael Pratt with the injury, and that it's more serious than anybody has any kind of an idea about how it is, that the medicals were a question mark for him, because there's no reason he should have been a seventh-round pick. As far as Rattler goes, the interview that we did with him after he got drafted,
that was the best interview we had.
It was fantastic.
He was really good.
He sounded super mature, just not at all like the 17-year-old kid that he was on that QB1 documentary, like you mentioned. And just talking with him, one thing that kind of stood out to me a little bit was when he was talking about his lower body strength and kind of how that comes into his throwing mechanics. He talked about the whip that he has, but he kept saying that how he's put a lot of focus on making sure that his lower body is very sound and his kind of movement skills and everything like that when he's in the pocket, and how it all kind of goes into one fluid throwing motion that he has. It's like a whip.
It's a pretty motion to watch, and I see how much he used his lower body, Charlie.
Yeah.
I could see that in those throws. The only thing is, and it's a bad habit because you sometimes having to carry a high school team or sometimes having to carry a college team. He tries to do too much. You know, you live to fight another day. But, man, he thinks he can put a football anywhere out on the field. We'll have a lot more about Spencer Rattler at 5:20. The legendary Archie Manning will be on with us. He was at the Manning Passing Academy, and he mentioned to us Saturday, constant touch with Archie throughout the years about his play and everything else. And so interesting little connection there, Archie Manning and Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, and real quick, another thing that I saw from Schefter about, you know, why Rattler fell was that two teams that were super interested in him were Denver and Atlanta. The issue was that both of those teams took a quarterback in the first 12 picks, so there was no reason for them to take him in the second, third, or fourth round. And that's maybe part of the reason that he also fell, on top of, as you mentioned, the kind of controversy with character concerns from that QB1 documentary when he was 17 years old. That seems a little bit excessive to kind of put that much stock into that, Mike.
Okay, he didn't handle success well, Charlie. They got people much older than him that don't handle it too well either.
Yep.
So it's the hardest thing in life. We used to kind of maybe sometimes falling, scuffing ourselves, or maybe disappointments. Man, when you're trying to handle success, that is a difficult U-turn in life, especially when you're 17 years old. You think maybe you're a little bit more mature, you can handle it better, and sometimes it does work out that way, and sometimes it doesn't. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Want to thank Jake Madison for joining us, giving us his insights on the Pelicans at 5:20. Coming up, we'll have on with us Archie Manning to talk to us about Spencer Rattler, Manning Passing Academy, all those guys that have been there and got selected. Six straight quarterbacks in the top 12. Unprecedented. Charlie, I thought all six would go, but I never thought we'd see six in 12 picks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you would have if Penix didn't get picked at 8. So, you know, you're looking at the Broncos. Like, I think they felt like pressured to take Bo Nix at 12 because at that point, maybe the Raiders could have taken that sixth quarterback off the board. The run on quarterbacks was just crazy, and it really helped someone like Taliese Fuaga fell to the Saints at 14.
No, the Saints, man, they took advantage of it. They had to shoot off the guns on that one. Man, it was big time because a lot of that having to do with those extra quarterbacks going before that, and it sort of pushed down players at the offensive line position. So, man, you shot off the fireworks once Penix and Nix got pulled off the board. I want to tell Mike from Mid-City, hold on. He wants to talk about Michael Pratt. Mike, I'll take you right after the news break. We'll have a lot more here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL right after the news here on the Big 870 WWL.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.